Father, we thank you again to open this book. Lord, in a time we study, we certainly need your help. In a time we teach, we certainly need your help. Lord, we're not infinite. We don't know everything in studying many times because our minds are not capable of receiving knowledge like maybe we could if we weren't in a body that was depraved. But Lord, we do try our best to put it together in systematic order with your help. We tried to look at the scriptures. The best commentator we have is the scriptures, because if the scripture says a number of things about something, then another place it contradicts itself, then you have to find out what the contradiction is. You just don't adopt things because it sounds good. You adopt things because you believe that's what God has given and helps you understand his plan and purpose. And we pray tonight you'll honor yourself as we look at this scene, this theme about the Antichrist. In Jesus' name we pray. Now, last week we looked at, got down to 1 John chapter 2 and about verse 18. I want to go back and pick up there, chapter 2 and verse 18. And the scripture says, just rehearse a little bit and move on to different things. Scripture said, little children, we said this is a tender cause that God is speaking to at this time in his word. I'm glad he speaks to us tender ways instead of just coming as who he is. He could come to us in an almighty way, but he has a tender side to it. He has also a mighty side to him because he's a God of wrath, but he also comes to us tenderly. He said, dear little children, it's the last time, and as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even or now, there are many Antichrists in the plural. Notice Antichrist singular, then many Antichrists in the plural, whereby we know that is the last time. And they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. And we said again, sometimes people look at that and say, well, that's any time anybody moves around anywhere. We said, no, this has not to do with the fact that someone sometimes may move from one church to another as long as it's a sister church. It has to do with the doctrinal. And if you go through and see what's talking, you see the doctrinal statements that's made here about who Jesus Christ is as you talk about the Antichrist. Now turn over to chapter 4, and I'm not going to read any further here. We're going to come back to this chapter in just a little bit. So God wants us to be confident about our Christianity. He wants us to know these wonderful truths, and he set forth some things that on the surface, it may look one way, but as you study underneath, it's going to give you some great insight about this man and his doctrine and the spirit of the Antichrist, because right now we see that we're in that part called the spirit of the Antichrist. And if you go to chapter 4 with me, we'll see that as we look down. We looked last week, just for back to refresh our mind. Beloved, believe not every spirit that try, but try the spirits, well, they're God, because many false prophets were gone out into the world. Hereby know the spirit of God, even every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come into the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, wherein you have heard that it should come. Now, I went through that last week, what it meant to confess. It's not just, it's deeper than just mental confession. It goes underneath the doctrine of someone. There can be somebody sometimes who don't understand enough to be confused and not have all the truth about the Lord. And when they don't have that, they may have some doubts about some things. They may not understand truth like it should be. But when the truth is presented, the Holy Spirit will help us understand it. And you can become one who can look at what's been said of what people believe and decide whether it's of the Lord or not of the Lord. And when I gave some examples last week about if when a person says they're saved, believing Jesus Christ their Savior, it's very common. You can go anywhere around here now and talk to people about being saved, and most people tell you they are. Most people tell you they trusted Christ somewhere back in their life somewhere or another. But it's a head knowledge. It's not deep as it is. I'm studying right now. I told you about where the Bible talks about the deeper things of God. And I'll tell you, salvation is a deeper thing of God than what most people think today. It's a settle of the heart, not just the mind. And when the heart is settled like it should be, there's a lot of changes that's made wherein that you wouldn't see as happened today. We have a mentality today the person can be saved no matter how they live. And that's a dangerous thing to present Christ to the next generation. Because if that's what they see, then they miss out and realize the doctrine of Christ has been changed. The doctrine of Christ is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The doctrine of Christ, and I say again, Is there another name given among men under heaven whereby you must be saved? The doctrine of Christ, that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by me. The doctrine of Christ has many sayings like that and truths in God's word that lets us know when you trust in Jesus Christ, you've got someone that you can get nowhere else, and there's no other one like him. No other one like him. And so now, and you heard that last week, but now we want a little bit further. And he says, you are God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than it's in the world. Now watch, next verse. He said, they are the world. And I told you last week, look at the word they and look at the word we. The word they are those who are not Christians. The word we are those who have been born again. And it means been born again, not just a member of church. He said, they are the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. That's the reason you see most of the world go any way other than the Christian way, because they have many religions. It doesn't matter what religion it is, it's still speaking to the world. Anything that's not of Christ is going to be of the world. And then he says, we, though, are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God hears us not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now, who is it knows the spirit of truth and error? The we. Not they, but the we. That's the child of God. God says that the Holy Spirit that moved in our hearts is to help us understand what God has done in our heart. And there's been a new creation there. And it operates under the influence of the Holy Spirit, fed by the Word of God. You stay out of this book and you'll be just as much as you were the day you got saved. You ain't grown a bit much. This book is the only place you can grow because it's the food for the new man. We grow by studying and practicing and doing what God says do, and God helps us along that line. Then he says, amazing, he said, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Isn't it an amazing thing that once he begins to let you understand who they are and who we are, he reminds us that we have a capacity to love in ways that you never can think of before. In fact, you can love your enemies. And that's something we should practice. One of the greatest things in studying Christianity in the past has been those who really did things for the Lord, loved their enemies so much that they were willing to die just to reach them for Christ. I don't see too many Christians today willing to die for anybody, do you? Do you? No, you don't see too many people like that. Because the fact is this, they loved their enemies enough that Paul, they put their life on the line all the time. I'll tell you one thing, if you're witnessing much, you'll find out there's a lot of agitation out there as far as witness for Christ today, even in our day. More so today here than there were years ago because of the people that's moving in. And he said, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. He said, in this was manifest the love of God. Amazes me when he talks about this Antichrist spirit and comes to us, he begins to show a difference between they and we, who we are. And he said, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifest the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, notice, we ought also to love one another, and certainly it's that for the world. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfect in us. And hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. There it is again. A lot of folks miss that. And I've had people tell me, you can't find nowhere God said to you. I'm finding all over in this Bible that God gives us his Spirit when we get saved. Isn't it said over and over again that we have, by the way, if you don't have his Spirit, you're not saved. That's how strict this is. And then he goes on and he talks about hereby we know that we dwell in him, in us, because he had given us Spirit, and we have seen and do testify the Father sent the Son into the world to be Savior of the world. And then he said, whoso shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Now, I listen to other people that say, that's a simple thing. Yeah, I confess that I believed in Jesus Christ. You ever heard that? And then next thing you know, they're using God's name, or they're talking about something that's not, that's entirely different from Scripture. In other words, their doctrine changes based on what they actually believe rather than just what they say they believe. And so God says, I give you the ability to discern that spirit between that which is error and which is truth. But it doesn't come automatically. As a matter of fact, I'm sure, after 54 years serving God, I'm sure that if I won't study this book, a lot of things that people say about Jesus Christ and even about God could get me because it sounds right. I just don't know the opposite of that. You can't compare anything unless you know the opposite of what you're hearing. If you hear one thing and not the opposite of that, you don't know the difference. When I hear who Jesus Christ is and see and study who he is, then I hear somebody say, oh, yeah, I believe in Jesus Christ. But then suddenly they begin to talk doctrine that's not of Christ. Well, maybe he's not really the true Son of God. But he did give us examples of how to live. And we went through all of that just a week ago. So I want you to know, God wants us to be confident in our Christianity. And he talks to us, and as Jesus sent back to heaven, he returned the Holy Spirit to us here on this earth that we might literally begin to study and understand about what God is telling us to do. And I'm finding this. I find it amazes me. I've studied some things right now. It amazes me. I'm seeing, God has let me see more things in books than I see in sections of books. See, the greatest thing in Ephesians recently, how Paul would tell us about who Christ is and what we should do, and then he'd pray that we do certain things. And then he'd come back and tell us something else. And you go through those chapters, and all of a sudden you see chapters telling us something, and we'll read two or three verses along the way to come up with one thought or something. God has given multiple scriptures to compare scripture with scripture to see when Bible truths are so, or they may not be so in people's eyes. So we looked at the fact in verse 16, it talked to us over in chapter 2, he talked to us about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye brings the pride of life when we don't do what God says to do about those things. And so here he begins, he summarized all of this up by talking about the Antichrist. Now, when you look in chapter 2 and verse 18 again, you see that this is how he knows the last hour is coming. When he sees these things happen, he knows the last hour is coming. Now, we looked at the Antichrist. We looked at what the word meant. I'm not going to get into that tonight. But I want you to also notice that this word is used three different ways in the Bible. And I've come to the conclusion, if there is an Antichrist, if there's a spirit of Antichrist, if there's many Antichrists, I need to know who they are. And you can't go to the dictionary and find out. You can't go to secular history and find out. The only place you can really find out what the Bible's talking about is the Bible. Not a lot said, but there's enough said that God will give information about that. So you have to look at the things that are said, and some of the things I want to look at. There's three things I want to look at to start with what says about the Antichrist. There's three ways he's revealed in the Bible. The first way we see, he's talked about the spirit of the Antichrist. Look with me in chapter 4. And verse 3, the spirit of Antichrist. Now, why the spirit of Antichrist? Because we don't know the Antichrist now. He tells us about the spirit of Antichrist that will run preceding when the Antichrist comes. And then he tells us about the Antichrist. And then he tells us about many Antichrists. So how are you going to reconcile that? The spirit of Antichrist? He's going to wait the Antichrist come to have the spirit of Antichrist? Not according to what Paul said, because he said the spirit of Antichrist was in his day. So I've got to understand what the spirit of the Antichrist is. And then I've got to understand that who the Antichrist is. I may not be able to tell you as far as what country so he comes from. I don't think nobody can. We can guess at it. Many haven't been wrong. But we can know that the spirit of Antichrist is what the Antichrist will be when he gets here. And Paul said he's already working. And why? Because he must work before he comes, or he wouldn't be able to set up like he did. He gets people programmed before he comes. So God says, you, the Christian, have the spirit to understand who he is and what he's doing. You have the ability and knowledge to decide which is the we and which are the they. God has divided it for us. Now we have to find which side are we on. How do you do that? It's not just because I say I am. It's because I know what he says about him, and God has helped me line up with the we. And it starts with Jesus Christ. I'll tell you one thing. You'll never get me to say that Jesus Christ is there's other ways to get to heaven other through Jesus Christ. That'd get you killed in some places. Mm-hmm. Not 500 years ago, but today. You're not going to get me to tell somebody a false thing that there may be another way they can get saved other than through Jesus Christ. If I did, I'd deny this Bible. But ladies and gentlemen, if this Bible lies about that, I might as well get out of here right now. If this Bible lies anywhere in the world about who Jesus Christ is, other than what God says he is, we got no business being here. Because if he's lying about that, he may lie about something else. I got news for you. God does not lie. He tells us that. In fact, the Bible says God cannot lie in Titus 1:2. So I see a wonderful thing here about this. So the spirit of the Antichrist, and I see that when you look in a if you look with me in chapter 4 again in verse 3, notice what he said. In every spirit that confesses that not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God, and this is that spirit of Antichrist. Isn't that what he calls it? Spirit of, he didn't say Antichrist here. He said this is that spirit. He's talking about every, he said again, every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. He didn't say the Antichrist was alive then. He said a person who denies that Jesus Christ is who he is, a person who's come, a person, again, that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And by the way, when he said Jesus Christ, he's not talking about just the name. Did you know there's a lot of folks deceived that believe that they just confess his name, that's all it is? He's talking about the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, if we don't get to understand, there's got to be something more deeper than the surface. Because a person can confess the name of Jesus Christ and still die and go to hell if they don't believe he's who he said he was. You wonder why our hearts will be burdened? You wonder why do you and I want to be trying to win souls or brother pray tonight? Because we must not really understand who Jesus Christ is. Because if we really do, it'll burden you to the place that you just can't hardly stand it unless you see. So I like to shout at Sunday when things happen like it did. And how I think about how long it takes some time to get just one person to see and break down a wall. What happens is this. We have to consistently do what we do till Jesus comes or we go to heaven. That's our job in the age of grace. We are not like other religious people if we are truly born again. We're not, brother. Did you know a few years ago I said that and people would have shouted amen so loud it rattled the legs. It amazes me the difference of times. Do you know that? There's something about, ladies and gentlemen, we need to take note. There's something that's going on that's dampening us. We can't bring Christ to our level. He wants to lift us to his level. And that's what the scripture does when we begin to look in the depth of that. And so every spirit that does not acknowledge that Jesus is from God. Let me ask you something. When you talk about from God, that means exactly who he is. Now, when you and I say that there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and another religious group comes to say, oh no, I believe there's God the Father, but I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son, but he's not God. What does that tell you about them? They're wrong, brother. That's all there is to it. And yet, we are called everything in the book because we believe what the Bible says, and they say they believe what they need. Some of you know who the organization I'm talking about. I just won't call it tonight. Just let your mind run a little bit. But what I'm saying, we believe what the Bible says, and because we're so gung-ho to believe this book, we're categorized as something that we're not, as people. And so he said, I'm going to let you know the spirit of the Antichrist. Behind every false doctrine outburst of evil, there is the spirit of the Antichrist. Then the second thing he tells us about, now listen, by the way, he said it's even in this day. He said, oh, now, in that verse, he said, heard, and you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world, and that's about 90 AD. Then he began to tell us the difference. You're God's children. They and we. And then the next thing he talks about, the Antichrist itself. The word Antichrist itself is mentioned over 20 different names. The satanic Superman is mentioned in about 20 different names. The Antichrist is one of those. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, 1 John 4, verse 3, 2 John, verse 7. He's called the little horn in Daniel 7, 8. He's called abomination that causes desolation, Matthew 24, 15. He's called the beast in Revelation 13, 1. In fact, the beast is used some 36 times in Revelation in that one book. And so a lot of people over the years have tried their best to figure out who the Antichrist was. And they had theories. They had theories for such as popes to presidents to actually pastors. And just a while back, not too long ago, the New York Times ran an article called Why the Antichrist Matters in Politics. I tell you this, we better be well-versed, boy. I need to be well-versed, not because I may be here when he's here. He may be here, but he won't materialize himself. I just don't believe he'll materialize himself until after the rapture takes place. But the spirit will be here, so we need to know the spirit of Antichrist. And ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. The spirit of Antichrist right now is hovering over this nation so great that from political down to the grassroots, Jesus Christ and God the Father is not the God the Father and Jesus Christ that was 30, 40, 50 years ago. And I know God can turn it around, but God can turn it around. He don't need us to turn it around, but think about this. God will not turn around and go do something within without that's not in His Word, in grace, in time, until He sees fit to come back and start where He says He's going to start at the end of grace, in the age of grace. And so it's happened all around us now as we look and hear the things that's happened. And so we need to be well versed on what He is and how He's going to display His power. And again, I really don't believe they're going to be here. And if you're going to get with me and find out why, I'll show you some reasons why. Because one particular reason I know, there's something about Christianity today that if we were like we are now in the tribulation period, probably all of us just about fall. Because I don't know if we got enough to say, hey, for I deny the Lord Jesus Christ, for I deny Him, I'll die and my family and everyone around me. I'd like to think I would, but I'm a realist. I'm telling you, people do things sometimes that you never thought would do something. And it's in the situations where you're in at that particular time. So when it comes to life and death, you got to have more than just, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You got to have the Holy Spirit. You got to have the new birth. And you got to have that as David had. Learn how to encourage yourself in the Lord. I've got verses of Scripture now that I've had through the years. In fact, I just keep adding to them as time goes on. David said when he went to Ziklag, you remember that time? And his people, his family and his kids and his wives and everyone were taken. Everything was destroyed. They had left nothing. And when he went back home to Ziklag, the armies had come in. I think it was the Philistine came in and captured everyone in his family, took everything he had. And the people and the soldiers that were with him wept bitterly for a period of time in 1 Samuel. And it ended up that David almost lost his life by those that he was leading. And he said he got along with God and he encouraged himself in the Lord. That's all he said. He encouraged himself in the Lord. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean to encourage himself in the Lord? You can't find out unless in the Bible. So I've started making a list of what David did years ago and out through the Psalms in different places, and by other people who did the same thing, that when certain things come, I go to those lists and I begin to pray to God and encourage myself like David in the Lord. It's amazing what it happens. I tell you, I read the Reader's Digest. I read everything. It don't do a thing for me. But boy, when I get in there and look at how David encouraged himself and he tells us what he did and what he said and how it worked out, all of a sudden you get down a few of those and next thing I can't tell you, you got experience. That's all I know. Amen. When you learn to encourage yourself in the Lord, and you can't be a leader unless you do that. No leader can ever do anything unless they learn to encourage themselves in the Lord. You can't encourage yourself in anybody else. It has to be in the Lord. And David did just that. And that's what this is doing. He's showing us how to encourage ourselves when the spirit of Antichrist is there. That means, though, when you begin to take a stand for the principles of the Bible, they think you know everything. They think that you think you know everything. Put it that way. They think that you think you know everything. And it's not that at all. It's who you have put your grass roots in the early part of your Christian life. And you've been taught, not by religion, but been taught by the Spirit of God and by God's people who believe together, same, and get together. As one brother said not too long ago, together, he said, man, I enjoy this. I said, and he looked, and 3 hours had gone by. I said, man, I didn't mean to keep that. I said, the worst, best place in the thing in the world I'd be is somewhere I want to talk about the Bible. I mean, talk about it, not argue about it. I'll get up and leave in a minute and begin to argue. Amen? Amen? I've got time to argue. But I'll tell you this, if they talk intellectually, there are some things I have to go back and study again. Because if it's not an argument, it's for my good. And when something is given from the Bible, and then you see it's not out of context, it's in context, you think, then you go back and look again. So the Antichrist, here is... We focus on him, and of course, the last thing. Well, a lot of people have said who they thought the Antichrist was, and of course, the person who will be the Antichrist could be very well alive right now. I believe that. I know a lot of folks are experts and try to tell us who he is. I've come to the conclusion. I've lived long enough to see people try to tell me who he is and more who they said he was. So I'm not going to ever try to do that. I have my ideas about him because God gives us information. I'm not a they, I'm we. But I'll tell you, when he comes, I can see the spirit of Antichrist. And when I can see the spirit of Antichrist in religious leaders when they begin to talk about. You know, yeah, we believe in Christ, but we don't believe in the cross. We believe in Christ, we don't believe in the blood. We believe in Christ, we don't believe in no wrath. We believe in Christ, but we don't believe there's going to be anything as hell at the end. Hell's going to be done away. Folks, I'm telling you what, that is a doctrine this Bible does not teach. And we need to understand that, because that, if there's anything, that's the spirit of Antichrist, that's deception. That's all it really matters. And you see this as we go through it in the next couple of weeks. So when we talk about this, in many, there's a spirit of Antichrist, and we're living in it right now. For 2,000 years we've been living in it. Then there is the Antichrist. He's on the scene coming. And then there's many Antichrists that's been going on since that day, because they've been claiming themselves to be Christ. And anyone who dare calls himself Christ is an Antichrist in the age of grace. Have to be. There's only one Christ. There's only one Son of God. And here they had a documentation about a year or so ago of about 6 or 7 Christs all over the nation. We don't need 6 or 7. We just need Him. They went to these different places where they had hundreds and hundreds of people believing that they were said they were Christ. And they were different nationalities. Anybody see that on the news? It was on the Historic Channel, I think. And they said they were different nationalities. And they really believed that this person, that nationality, was Christ. That's Antichrist. It's the spirit of Antichrist. In other words, it's not the Antichrist, spirit of Antichrist. So you have the spirit of Antichrist, you have the Antichrist, and then you have many Antichrists, a little A, which in turn is manifesting the same spirit of the Antichrist. Now, when I see this, I have to realize there's some things I need to do. I need to find out about the Antichrist. I need to focus on what he does. What will the Antichrist do when he gets here? I won't be here, but I need to focus on what he does, because if I do, I'll see what he's trying to do now while I'm here in the age of grace. And that's going to help me grow. So I want to focus on what he does. Then I want to focus on how we've been established, how we as believers, what we have. God has shown us how he puts himself and what he does, and then he shows us what we have, so we can know we're the we and not the they, and see what he does. And then he gives us the third thing. We conclude with the thing that we must do. That's what we're seeing in these verses. The spirit of Antichrist, the Antichrist, many Christs. What does he do? What has God given me so I can see what he's doing, so that I don't get caught in the trap and try my best to do what he does? I need to know what I must do, but not what he tells me to do or the spirit of Antichrist tells me to do. I have to be careful that I don't get hung up on something that would not be godly, but be of the Antichrist. Am I making sense to you? If I don't find out these things, how can I study it? If I don't understand the term spirit of Antichrist, if I don't understand the term the Antichrist, if I don't understand the terms many Antichrists, how would I know what he does, even in the spirit of Antichrist now? Because Satan's behind it all. It's Satan doing it all through him. And how would I know then to establish what I, as a believer, have to counteract that? One thing off the top, praise be unto God, is the Holy Spirit of God. I have the Holy Spirit of God. You say, preacher, you say that, and everybody here say, that's just bragging. No, if you are a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit of God. And God's letting me know, son, listen to me. Please listen to me. There's a spirit out there will deceive you in your own mind, will deceive you in your own way, will deceive you in your own thinking. The only thing can counteract, that's the Word of God, and you'll never understand it without my Spirit. And so the Spirit of God I've sent, he said in John 14:6, that he may teach you all things. When the world looks at you and thinks you're some religious guru or something. It's not that at all. And so you find, then you say, what is conclude that one must do under these circumstances? So next week, I'm going to move into this thing of what Antichrist does, or the spirit of Antichrist does, until the Antichrist comes. I find out this, that in John 4:6, he tells us that we are God, and he that knoweth God heareth us, and he that not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the truth and know the spirit of error. The Bible teaches us and tells us that those who hear God's word and receive it with a readiness of mind are of the truth. and they're willing to let God's light shine, like John 3:21. Then we went there. He told us, though, who's come to the light? They love the light, but even the light reveals who they are, but it don't matter because it's under the blood of Christ. And he says that when you go there, they're willing to come to the light of God with an answer of the hope that is in them. It's 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. And the spirit of error is more difficult to discern. Satan misleads and manipulates people. If you go to 2 Timothy 3 and read 7, 8 through 14, and we read some of those, I won't read them tonight, but you go read that later, and he shows us exactly the spirit that's leading up to the time that when the end of the age is going to come. So they refuse to learn and obey the truth. Those are the spirit of Antichrist. They're unwilling to believe Bible doctrine that's very clear. And that's what gets me. I don't know why that some people feel when the Bible doctrine is so clear about who Jesus Christ is. God is so clear about how he's his son. God is so clear that when you believe in him, you believe in God. There's scripture over scripture. It teaches you when you have the son, you have God. When you don't have the son, you don't have God. When you have God, you have the son. They work intertwined. The only thing about it is the road to God is through the son in the age of grace. God's truth will not accommodate human philosophy. God's truth will not accommodate human will. God's truth will always be consistent with God's word, and God's word, God's wrote it to those who are willing to believe it and do it. And he says, I'll make it real to you. But don't forget, when it becomes real to you, you'll begin to be isolated by people. Because the isolation puts you in a place that whereas most people are not at. Well, first of all, most people don't study the Bible as much as one who's teaching. You don't have to read it a lot, but as far as studying for systematic order and so forth, another thing is when you're forced to teach, you're forced to study more. So I've probably been blessed because for 4 years I've been forced to teach. I've tried to figure out one time many times I spoke, and it amazes me the number of times. And every one of those has been hours studying portions of Scripture for. And so I found this out. The best way in the world if you really want to study the Bible is get in a place where you can teach. And then you'll be forced to. If not, you'll be forced to because people hear things, not understand and question it. You'll be forced to it because somebody will tell you something else they've studied and it's not like that, and you have to go back and study it again to be sure you're right. It just puts you in a place where you end up forced to study. And you study to prove yourself before God, and God honors that. I'm grateful for this as we get more into it and see about what it is now that we're going to do. What is the Antichrist, the spirit of the Antichrist does until the Antichrist comes? And there's three or four things he tells us he does. And then he talks about the Antichrist itself. Father, Lord, it's hard to teach what needs to be taught in 30 or 40 minutes sometimes. And we pray you'd help us put it together. Sometimes we had to rehearse back to tie everything together so it stays in line. Sometimes, Lord, we have to talk about things that it'd be so easy not have to talk about, because every time you start taking stiff stands, automatically you start having some people who, in our day, we're from a bit different backgrounds. It's just hard to get people to understand that certain things in the Scripture don't change. They just never change. Now, there are certain things could change, and Lord, none of us are ever to the place. We're not arrived yet. Paul said, I'm not apprehended that everything's of yet. I know that. I'm still finite. Dear Lord, my study in all these years could still be something wrong. And God, it terrifies my heart when I study something that is something that's not right. Possibility, dear Lord, I'm going to have to give account to you one day. Holy Spirit, please guide my heart. I realize this. The Apostle Paul went to Asia Minor 3 years and came out as he met with the Lord Jesus Christ with what God had him to give. The Holy Spirit inspired from there, from the right, and to do the things he did. And everywhere he went, caused him a lot of trouble because that wasn't the norm that day. And Father, I believe in the last days, religion is not, Christ is not the norm in religion as it was a number of years ago. They always had problems with it, but not on such a large scale. Please help us grow. And Lord, please somehow let people see that when we take our stand firm on the Word of God, it makes us love people more. Lord, there's no one in the world who's an enemy that we hate as a child of God. Dear Father, one of the factors that has showed us in talking, we witnessed someone recently, and talking to them, the things that involved. And they were even, sometimes even afraid to go to church. And we'd say, hey, God loves you so much. If you'd been the only person on the face of the earth, he'd have come and died for you. And it shakes people up when you think that. And God loves you so much, somehow or another, he allowed us paths to cross so we could talk to you. We didn't know who you are, and you didn't know who we were, but God brought us together. Can't you see God's love manifesting to you that he loves you? I don't care where you are at and what you did. And Lord, sometimes people don't trust the Lord as Savior, but it seems like it keeps them off the track of trying to argue about something because they just don't think no one loves them that good. And Father, that's what Jesus did. So I pray you'd help us when we teach the Word of God. Help us show the authority, but let us undergird it with love, because that's the way you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.